entitled to the land and to its resources, and that is the ultimate threatening thing to a colony.
Okay, well, that's the last note we're in. And thank you so much again, Jacqueline. And we'll talk to you again.
Okay.
And this has been Paul Rowan with Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Portland Community Radio.
Indian legislation's on the desk of a do-right congressman. Now, he don't know much about the issue, so he picks up the phone and he asks advice of the senator out in Indian country, a darling of the energy companies who are ripping off what's left of the reservations. I learned a safety rule. I don't know who to thank. Don't stand between the reservation and the corporate bank. They'll send in federal tanks. It isn't nice, but it's reality. Bury my heart.
KBOO Community Radio is the proud co-sponsor of the third annual Flash Holiday Show, running December 8th through 11th at the Alberta Abbey in Portland. Based on the 80s cult classic film Flash Gordon, Flash is Portland's premier rock opera parody, complete with a live rock band, Mercury Rising, formed at the School of Rock. Again, that's the third annual Flash Holiday Show, running December 8th through 11th at the Alberta Abbey, 126 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Engineering Work Group meets the first Thursday of each month at 7:30 p.m. Please call 231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meetings in writing, please email Monica at kboo.org.
Good morning. It's 9:01, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Here's what we have coming up for you this morning on KBOO. First, on political perspectives, students from Portland State University and inmates from McLaren Youth Correctional Facility come together to learn about the role of music in social change. At 10 o'clock, it's Chris Andres hosting Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints and a look at the future of public school education under a Trump presidency. Also, what kind of attorney general will a white supremacist like Jefferson Sessions make? At 11 o'clock on the Recovery Zone, author Susan Engels discusses her recent book, The End of the Rainbow, How Educating for Happiness and Not Money Would Transform Our Schools. And we thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, we really encourage you to go to kboo.fm, click on Donate, and make it happen there. Thanks a lot. And we go now to political perspectives.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM. I am Regina, your host, and my co-hosts this morning are Carlos and Megan. With the exception of Carlos, we are all students of Portland State University Metamorphosis. It's a capstone class taught by Deborah Otto, and our program today is about our recent team in that class. This capstone class is certified inside-out prison exchange, titled Metamorphosis. It is a class that is made up of students from Portland metro area that attend PSU and students who reside at McLean Youth Correctional Facility in Woodburn, Oregon, who are attending PSU through this program. Many, if not all, of the students from McLean are serving several years in the Oregon Youth Authority due to Oregon's mandatory sentencing law called Measure 11. This class is designed to humanize the situation that these youth face by creating a pro-social classroom environment that also helps to break fears and stereotypes that the outside students might have going in, and that give insiders a chance to interact and study with a variety of students from the outside. I will start by introducing our co-hosts and getting a little backstory on who they are and why they are taking this class.
Hi, I'm Megan. I'm a psychology and computer engineering double major, but obviously I'm here more on the psychology side of things. I really want to go into forensic psychology as a career and work specifically with criminals who may have mental disabilities and support them during the court process. And so I thought taking this class would give me a really good opportunity to get some more experience working with people who are in the system and who know the system and getting familiar with it. How about you, Regina?
I'm a criminal justice major with Portland State University. I've taken this class because I want to advocate for young females that are victims of sex trafficking. And that is why I'm taking this class.
I didn't mean to jump in on top of you. I'm Carlos Chavez. I'm a somewhat regular producer here at KBOO. And I was asked by the instructor, Deb Arthur, to come into the metamorphosis class this term and help her not only present and help facilitate the class, but also to teach the students in the class a little something about, doing radio. So that's why Megan and Regina are here with us today. This is actually their first time hosting, and Regina, you did a great job doing the introduction.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Colin.
So, you, of course, Megan, are doing a great job, too. So I'm glad to have you both here. And let's go ahead and jump into the next piece.
All right. We've got a few audio segments for you to listen to that we recorded while taking this class. In this first piece, inside student Trey interviews the instructor, Deb Arthur, and co-facilitator, Kathleen Florington.
We got a special appearance by somebody who usually doesn't do this kind of thing. You want to tell us your name?
My name is Deb Arthur.
Oh, look at that. I believe you're the what?
Oh, I'm the facilitator, I'll say. I'm an assistant professor at PSU, but I have the honor and the pleasure of facilitating this class.
So I've been asking everybody about you, and I ain't heard nothing bad yet. They've all had something great to say about you, so you want to say something about the class?
I just love teaching this class. It's just a lot of fun. Everybody coming together, seeing how much we have in common, learning together. I just really, really enjoy it.
How often have you done this?
I think this is my fifth time teaching this class at McLaren. I've been doing something similar in Donald E. Long in Multnomah County, but it's not quite the same because it's not the same age students. So we go into detention there and do a writing and art workshop for an hour a week. It's not the same shared learning experience, but it's still pretty cool. But this is really, really great to just sit down and learn from one another and actually study together is something really special.
Teacher student. So
exactly. Prairie. All of Prairie would be proud.
I'm curious to know, like, what's so unique about this class?
Well, I think what's really unique is that we meet inside a correctional facility, and so you have students who a lot of times, to be honest, are nervous to come in, or they don't know what they're going to find. They've had family members tell them, you shouldn't do that, that's not safe. They have just this perception that they've received from mass media, the world, wherever. And and then they come in and sit down and find out that the students here are just as smart, if not smarter than they are, that they're just as human, have just as much to contribute. And it's just, I think, really life-changing. It definitely shifts perspectives on a lot of things, which it's my hope that they'll carry that new perspective with them when they think about voting, they think about policy issues, just the way they see the world. There's a little bit more, there's a little bit of good in all of us and a little bit of bad in all of us, and that we're really at a fundamental level all the same. And when you really recognize that, you approach everything else differently. I'm really passionate about this stuff, really passionate. So it's it comes naturally to just talk about it like that. Mm.
So it seems like it's affected you in how many ways?
Oh my gosh. I would say life-changing for me too, because I've always believed that education is about more than me offering some content. I continue to learn and grow, and I've known that, but this type of learning experience really is the best example I've had of that, of student teacher, teacher student, being involved in the process together, having education really be relevant to people's lives, having it really be personally transformative, and I dare say emotionally challenging as well as intellectually challenging. That's what real education is. That's the stuff that we never forget, the stuff that changes our perspectives. So I've always known that I believe that education was more than just delivering content, but in this setting, it's, you know, it's the best opportunity I've had to participate in that kind of transformative education.
Well, I know from a personal experience, you're a great teacher, you know, and I want to say thank you for everything that you've done, and I hope that you continue to do this line of work, you know, like, look out there. You know what I'm saying? It's like a regular class to me. Mm-hmm. No, I'm going off air. Thank you. So we're here with Miss
Kathleen
Fullerton. I'll finish the name. She's a wonderful person, and I just want to know, what made you bring the Metamorphosis class to us?
Actually, Deb Arthur, the professor, had talked a lot about bringing a class in here for college credit. A lot of things we wanted to work on, but then we realized the conduit for that was the Inside Out program. And so she went and got trained, and because she really wanted to keep it unschooly and have a different atmosphere, I agreed to work with her so we could hold it at the station, give it a different atmosphere. We really tried to get youth who maybe hadn't done any college yet to get them excited about college. So it was kind of a vision she had, and I agreed. So that's why we are doing the Metamorphosis class together.
So Hope has helped me a lot. You know what I mean, with my incarceration, and gave me a lot of opportunities to expand or to really look in depth inside of myself. And I just want you to tell the world about what hope is, you know?
Do you want me to tell you philosophically what hope is?
I know, it was kind of a broad question, wasn't it?
Yeah, do you mean the program, or do you mean...
All of it.
So I think it's interesting that this has the name Hope. You know, it started as the University of Hope by youth in the facility. And then I really wanted to keep the name Hope when we came on board, but administration wanted to change it a little bit. So I said, no, we need Hope, because a lot of the guys knew it as Hope. And I think, so we became Hope Partnership, which really turned out to be quite applicable because we have brought in so many partners. It's a true bridge to community. We get community in here working with you, so you can rebrand yourself. You can look deeper at yourself, like you said, Trey, and take advantage of opportunities and meeting with people who help you know that you will be welcomed back to your community because you are making the effort to repair harm. So I think of hope as, it's an action, it's a verb, it propels us forward, it buoys us. Hope, you know, makes me come back every day, no matter how difficult the work. I think hope is what makes you guys take a chance on a workshop and come back, and I'm sure you hope there's coffee and treats and snacks, and so that's okay too. And I think that's why hope kind of really fits. Hope is used a lot. There's tons of programs who use the word hope, and that's not probably an accident. I think hope is what really ties us together, ties our humanity together. If we didn't have hope, and if we didn't hope, I don't think we would ever really move forward and strive for something better.
You want to tell us a little bit about Kathleen? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what made you want to do this line of work.
What made me want to do this line of work? Have I always been doing this line of work? I think I came to this, I was looking for a career change. I was in education, got my administrator's license, but then there was a lot of budget cuts and nobody was hiring administrators. So I thought, well, maybe nonprofit work. So I actually did AmeriCorps 3 years for this program. It really fits everything I believe, fits education philosophy. You need to have administrative skills because you are running a program. But I think I've been doing this kind of work my whole life in some way, shape, or form. I think my family has lived this kind of work. I was in law enforcement, so I have an affinity for victims as well as offenders. And I really feel like if we really want to change that, if we really want to give homage to our victims, then we have to find a way to not repeat the crime, to break the cycle so that there's not the next crime, so we can stop victims. So I think it really all comes full circle on, I've probably always done the work, and I just really enjoy it. I love working with you guys. You guys make me come back every day, no matter how thick and the bureaucracy gets. There's great staff here who I enjoy working with, and I really enjoy seeing where guys go and, you know, where you're going to take it. So
I feel like you kind of touching on how it's affecting you personally, but I want you to elaborate on how we affect you, the youth incarcerated at McLaren.
How does it affect me personally? I enjoy, maybe I'm just an educator at heart. I don't know. Maybe it's my whole entire life. I don't know where I was raised. I just enjoy seeing people learn, really discover who they really are, break stereotypes, bust out of molds, stop listening to people telling you who you should be and what you should be. I mean, my whole family, they were immigrants. They came over and had to do the same thing. So I just, you know, spit in the eye of the man if you have to. I'm happy to help you learn how to do that in a gentle way. But yeah, navigate a system that's maybe keeping you in a box. Get out of that box. So it's actually very exciting and thrilling and fun and exhausting, but I love it.
That's what I was looking for. That's exactly what I was looking for. That's Mama Kathleen, McLaren Community Voice. Thank you.
That was Inside Out Capstone instructor Deb Arthur and co-facilitator Kathleen Fullerton of Hope Partnership. We're talking about the Portland State University Criminal Justice Capstone class that was recently held at McLaren Youth Corrections, where PSU students from the Portland metro area studied with students from McLaren Youth Corrections. The topic for this term was music as a vehicle for social change. So, Regina, can you tell us a little bit about what the class was like for you?
This time was more about change, empowerment, and collaboration with the inside students at McLean Youth Correctional Center. It's a class that brings the outside students and the inside student together to let them know that irrespective of where they are, you can make a change by working together and also supporting each other and encouraging each other. So I think that is what the class is to me this time.
I wanted to point out that we don't actually know any of the criminal backgrounds of the juveniles we're working with. We don't know why they're there, how long they're there. And honestly, it's really none of our business.
That is correct.
We don't know them well enough to ask that kind of information. Mm-hmm. And what really matters is the fact that they are there now, earning their degrees, studying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've talked to so many of them who really have a clear idea of what they want to do with their future. Mm-hmm. And that's been really cool to see because, you know, sometimes I don't know what's coming in my future. So they're quite inspirational.
They really are. They really are. Yeah.
Nice. I wanted to kind of jump in a little bit and talk a little bit more about Deb and Kathleen, because those are two very special people. And it's like the combination of them two putting something like this together is just like a phenomenal thing. So, but also I wanted to kind of explain the class a little bit further too. The idea of the class, I mean, besides the fact of, you know, the idea of this being an inside out type of class where you're bringing, you know, PSU students from the Portland metro area in to the correctional facility to basically be in class with youth that are, so there's about typically about 15 students from PSU metro area, Portland metro area, and 15 students from McLaren Youth Corrections that are having class together. And so what Deb usually does is she'll have some kind of a topic or a theme that she uses throughout the class. And in this case, the topic is music as a voice for social change. So, and I mean, I wasn't the one who was assigned to any of the stuff. So, but, you know, I was there helping to present. So I know from my perspective, you know, what it was that I was presenting and what Deb was presenting and what the class was how it was conducted during that time. But I'm curious, like, from your perspective, what was it that you guys were focusing on, and what was it that you guys took away from that piece of the class?
Okay. The collaboration aspect of the class was when we outside student from PSU came to McLean Youth Correctional Center to study with those wonderful 15 students. We came up with different music ideas. You know, there were a lot of talented youth that were there, that were rappers, that were people that constructed different music segments. And what I take out of the class was their enthusiasm to learn, their eager to learn, their optimisticness to bring new ideas, to encourage those of us that are outside students. In fact, I was challenged each time we turn in our homework. I see them very straightforward in presenting their homework with no restrictions. You know, so overall, the teamwork in that class was inspirational to me. And there was openness of mind. And you see the inside students, irrespective that they are inside where they don't want to be, it didn't stop them from achieving their goal, which is what? Going to school. So that was encouraging to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we were talking a lot about social change and activism. And, you know, again, the topic of the class was music as a vehicle for social change. So we talked about everything from unions to, you know, black rights, gay and women's rights through the 60s and the 80s. We talked about the Vietnam War, listened to music samples from all of those times. One of the common threads throughout most of our conversations was the idea of hope and how important it is for social change. And the word hope means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. That was one of the things that talking to both the inside and outside students, everyone kind of had a different idea on what hope is. Mm-hmm. But one thing a lot of us agreed on was that hope gives you energy.
That is true.
Hope gives you the energy and the power to really strive for social change.
Yes.
Without hope, you know, you can't envision your goal for the future. And if you can't envision it, then you can't really work toward it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, that's important for both the inside students who obviously need hope to get through the tough times, but also for those of us on the outside. We all need hope. You know, lot of us are afraid in the current political climate.
That is true.
You know, there's almost a civil war going on right now. And so we really need that kind of hope on both sides to see us through this.
Nice, nice. Well put. I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce this next little piece here. I'll jump back into a little more about who Kathleen and Deb are, you know, after this little segment. I'd like to get it in before halfway point. So let's go ahead and introduce that.
All right. Well, next is a segment that features some of the recordings that we did during class. Students from inside and outside of McLaren discuss music samples that they listened to and excerpts that they read that were related to the issues.
Outsiders looking in.
We didn't do it in a barbershop. We could do it over here. Same thing.
What about?
That's
already visiting
mine.
You know what I mean? It's open.
And where? Here?
Yes.
The trees. Bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves. And blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze.
And this was 1939. And let me ask, how relevant is it today? You know, hands up, don't shoot, I can't breathe, you know.
Yeah, people still trying to suppress it, you know, the message.
Right, I mean, there's, you know, there was the whole debate about, like, you can't have this song out there. It's going to cause backlash on both sides. It's going to stir things up. But let me ask you, if you don't stir things up, how do you move forward?
I think that's one of the things that makes it so much harder is, you know, back in the day, you know, whole towns would get together to lynch people. But now it's the were his hands up, weren't his hands up? I mean, well, he said he couldn't breathe, but, you know, some people will just say that. So it's easier for people to say, well, no, there's not this inequality. Like, no, we're not racist. Like, no, it's not this. It's not a race issue. And it's easier for people to say that now because it's easier to ignore. Oh, those people were just thugs. Oh, they were just that. Whereas before, you know, when whole towns would lynch someone, it was much easier for everybody to look at that and say, what is going on? What is happening? But now we've twisted it in such a way that racism's more silent. It's more, you know, it's kind of hidden. It's
in
not
the closet.
Exactly. It's in the closet. So we're finding different ways, you know. Well, now we don't have segregation. Well, now we don't have lynching. So that means that we're equal. That means that we don't have a problem.
We
but that's
black
Black president.
Exactly, right? I mean, if we have a black president, how racist could we be? And it's like you say, walk into a jail, walk into a prison, and you can see the racism. If you lined up everybody, you can see the racism. But nobody wants to think about that. Nobody wants to look at that because it's not in the town square. It's hidden away behind closed doors and bars and walls.
Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi. Goddamn! Alabama's got me so upset.
Well, hope to me is like you have to be in like a hopeless situation, you know what I'm saying? Like a situation where everything seems like it's not going to work out. That's why I feel like they use hope so much in this, because when you're like, say, you're talking about, what's it called, global warming, and everybody knows it's coming, like we feel it every year. That's like a situation where we can't physically really, unless we all band together, do something. But if we're hoping, that's the start. You know, if everybody hopes the world can do something, that's how you start stuff. You know, it's not the end result, but hope, like they're saying, like it comes from your morals and your beliefs. And like when you start to do something, like, you know what I'm saying? Hope makes you fully committed to something. So if you don't, if you're not hoping that it's worth it, then you're not going to be fully committed. If you're just like, it sounds like a good plan, you know, but I feel like down the road it's going to not work out, then what's the point of having hope if you don't feel like it's gonna work out through the whole situation? That's just how I feel.
Basically, he gave an example of him using his imagination in order to change the situation. Him and a group of other people, prisoners, were on the way to the gas chambers, and pretty much when they got out.
Sing along, you know this? Oh, okay. Bacon something.
to see it still happening today, even with the election, right? Because a lot of people are still biased towards Hillary, I swear. And they're just like, oh, like, I don't know if it's a, she's a woman. Woman can't run the world. Or, I don't know. But, like, you honestly do see it today. And I think that it's, like, kind of, I don't know, it's kind of ridiculous. It's like,
I think such a great point. So the venom into something that we're seeing against...
I've seen, like, all this stuff, like, Donald will say towards her, and it's just, like, a little irrational. I'm like, oh, my God, dude.
He feeds into it.
Yeah, definitely.
But, I mean, just in general, the venom that we see toward this particular candidate, I don't think we'd see
it's surrounding the fact that she's a woman, not surrounding any of her actual policies.
Mm-hmm. I think people really have an issue with a woman being in that position. You know?
I am strong.
All right. Oh, you keep going. Okay.
Can't do an iTunes sample.
You can click.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM or on the internet at kbu.fm. We're talking about our experiences with the Portland State University's Metamorphosis Capstone class at McLaren Youth Corrections. This is a certified inside-out prison exchange class taught by Deborah Arthur. The topic for this class was music as a vehicle for social change, which explored how music has made a social impact throughout different times in history.
Cool. So I kind of wanted to make a quick little announcement. I know that one of my students, Trey, was trying to call in. And Trey, if you're listening right now, call back in, man, because I'd love to have you on the air with us. So we'll squeeze you in, man. We would most definitely like to hear your perspective on things. You can help us speak on what the experience was for you being in this class. Trey did a whole bunch of interviews. The interviews that were done with Kathleen and Deb, he did. He's actually one of my new students. I do a radio group every Friday at McLaren Youth Corrections, and he's one of my, he's just this energetic student who's just coming in and bringing this great energy to the table. And he's seems like he's really gravitating toward basically everything that I've been throwing his way. He's right away getting radio certifications in anchoring and anchoring. He started the engineering one. He's doing but as far as field recording and doing interviews, he's like a natural, and he's just great at it. And he does an amazing job with all of the interviews that he worked with throughout this whole time. And he recorded a majority of the audio that you heard in that little mashup right there too. Mm. So but back to kind of like that, that's basically what that was. I just wanted to, I pieced together a lot of little pieces of audio that were recorded during the classroom time just to give you, the listener, a chance to kind of feel, you know, the environment when we were there in class. We had a variety of different types of discussions that we jumped into. Before we talk about that, I do want to get back to, like I said, who Deb Arthur and Kathleen Fullerton are. Those are two very special people for me. I run an organization called Morpheus Youth Project, and I work very closely with both of them. With Deb Arthur's class, I get a chance to come and present just about every term with her PSU students in her criminal justice capstone. And this is the first time that I've gotten a chance to be a part of the class for the Metamorphosis capstone. And many of the students in that class are also students of mine from McLaren Youth Corrections, from doing my radio and like breakdancing groups and other, you know, classes that I do at McLaren. So it's exciting for me to meet some of the newer students and also to kind of, you know, be in class with my guys too. So it's a lot of fun. Deb Arthur used to be on my board, and she's just an amazing person. And she has a knack for really taking, she really has a knack for understanding where certain things fit and where certain things that matter need to kind of come together when it comes to her putting her class together. She was a defense attorney for quite some time. Measure 11 is something that she's had to, you know, to deal with in that realm. And so as a teacher, she's really done a good job of, you know, you have all of these students that are coming from these different backgrounds with different types of focus for their degree, whether it's, you know, criminal justice or what have you, coming into this capstone. And she exposes them to a different perspective of, you know, this kind of stigmatized population. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a population of people who are just like, all right, let's like warehoused folks, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and what she does is she helps to break a lot of those ideas. Is that, I think we got Trey on the phone. I'm gonna bring him in because we'll let him explain
good.
A little more about who Kathleen is. I think he's a better person to bring. So you there, Trey? All right. Hey, man. I'm glad you were able to call back in. We were just talking about Deb and Kathleen. Tell us a little bit about Kathleen from your perspective, man.
I mean, Kathleen, man, I think it speaks for itself, you know, especially the audio. You know, she's a great person, a great human being at that. I mean, just to go a little bit in depth in her, she's pretty much a bridgeway to the community for us, you know, and with us being incarcerated and all, she kind of, I guess, so to speak, brings that hope to us, you know. To give us that motivation, that drive, you know what I mean, to keep going and make this incarceration just a little bit easier than what it is. Kathleen's just a great individual overall, you know, especially she brings hella coffee, you know, so
that's a little motivation.
Always got the snacks, you know, so it's always a delighted experience just to get off the unit, because we're always here, you know, we stuck 24/7 with the same people, and I guess the stress level gets kind of high, you know. So just for us to be able to get off the unit for a couple hours and to go experience, you know what I mean, coffee, you know, coffee, snacks, chips, whatever the case may be, and talk to the folks that really want to know who we are, you know, because we're so deprived, you know, and I guess we have, like, this stereotype, like, well, we're incarcerated, so we have to be, how do I say, so just animals, but in all reality, we're not, you know? I mean, like, I'm trying to change my life, and I guess this is just, like, my first step, you know, in order to change it. But,
well, you're doing a great job with it, man, because I, you know, I'm really excited about having you in my class, man, on Fridays. Like I was telling the audience, man, you bring a great energy to the group, and you handle yourself with grace, especially when you're doing the interviews at events and different things like that, man. You know, I'm really proud of you, man, and you should be proud of yourself as well. I'm proud of all the guys that are in my group too, and so it's an extreme pleasure and an inspiration having you in my class, man.
Well, no, it's actually inspiration to be in a class, you know, because I feel like I'm learning from a professional. You know, I don't think I ever told you that, but man, you know what I mean. I look up to you a lot, you know, and just to be completely 100. I take that opportunity, you know, and I go full force, you know, so I take that challenge head on, you know, every time, and I feel like I don't want to hear how good I'm doing, you know, I really want to know how, what can I improve, you know, like that's what I'm looking for, you know, because, like, you say I'm doing a good job, but I know there's something that I could do better, you know, so it's like I want to just improve my game, but definitely, I mean.
Well, you're a natural, man, you're a natural, and you're tapping into it, man, so, I'll definitely give you those little pointers when I can, but you're doing a dang good job, you know, as it is. And I appreciate the kind words, man. So
yeah, I wanted to point out, I noticed whenever you were interviewing people that you had a knack for making people feel comfortable while they were being interviewed.
That's key. Like,
yeah, people were talking more naturally and less rehearsed, myself included.
Yeah.
Well, I think the reason why is because I don't want it to seem like it's just an interview, you know, I like kind of make it like a conversation. Yep. You know, it's like I'm talking to you, talking to me. So that's how I was going about it. Instead of,
well, and that's
what we need to talk about.
Well, and it's important because, you know, what we're trying to do, especially in that setting, is to humanize the situation. You know what I mean? Like the whole, one of the big reasons that, you know, Deb does her class, Kathleen does what she does there, and I do what I do there, and everybody is engaging together in that. In that setting is to, in a way, to kind of break stereotypes. I'm gonna throw this one at you two, Regina and Megan. Did you guys have any misconceptions about what it was gonna be like stepping into that, you know, going into that facility? I mean, were you surprised by anything when you got in there?
On a personal note, I wasn't surprised because I've had almost 11 years working with different classes of mental health and people with, that had problem with the law. All the difference was just I wasn't sure who I'm gonna meet. But my previous experience was more like a strength for me going there, that I'm not gonna be scared. I'm gonna look at them as human beings that are just at the wrong place. That was my definition of who they are. I didn't consider myself to be more important than any of them. I wasn't in any form, in any way. So I wasn't really looking at stereotyping. I was looking at the heart of each and every one of them. And when I got there, I looked at them as human beings that are more better than me, you know. So a stereotype wasn't really my focus there, but somehow, you know, but you know, when you're in a new place, you don't know what you expect. But with my experience, I wasn't scared. I already made up my mind. They are somebody, they are unique. They are better than me. So that's why I didn't have no stereotype in my mind.
Wow.
Yeah,
if more people could do that just in general, we'd be in a much better place. Yeah. Go ahead, Megan.
It's hard for me to say what sorts of preconceptions I had, but I think in the beginning, I was really afraid of sort of watching what I said to make sure I didn't offend anybody. Like, I wanted to be really careful to make sure everybody knew that I wasn't, you know, judging them or whatever. And I was maybe walking on eggshells a bit too much in the beginning. But one thing Deb did in the first couple classes is she made us do these little icebreaker things, you know, chatting both inside and outside. And in most classes, I think they're pretty silly and a waste of time. But in this
except
particular...
Except for the chicken game.
Oh, well, yeah. No, the chicken game was perfect. Well, fantastic.
We'll have to tell you guys about that another time, audience.
That was hilarious. But yeah, in this class, I think it was really important for us to get more familiar with the inside students, and in particular, you know, get rid of any of those misconceptions and realize they are just people, just us, you know, that I didn't have to like walk on eggshells to not offend them or anything, that, you know, most of them are open to joking around and being jovial about things.
Mm-hmm. I have a blast with the guys there.
A lot of them are really entertaining.
Of all the things that I do, you know, with youth and with different folks with my programs some folks are probably gonna have to close their ears right now, but McLaren, that's my favorite group right there. You know, my guys that are at McLaren, I have a blast with those guys, and I just really, really, it energizes me every week I go there. I come out of there just feeling like floating. So
good.
So Trey, let's hear from your perspective going into that classroom environment. So two things. I want you to explain from your perspective just what I had asked Regina and Megan. But also, after you're done with that, we've got that little song, you know, that piece of music that you guys recorded that I want you to kind of introduce, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And I want you to stay on the line because we're going to keep talking to you.
All right. So, I mean, first and foremost, my first Inside Out class was with Clackamas, you know, and they were really strict. Like, we couldn't pass the students nothing, and, you know what I mean, like the typical rules. But so me going into that class, I guess you could, so to speak, I was walking on eggshells as well, because I didn't want to be perceived as this criminal, you know, like this juvenile delinquent, you know what I mean. And prior to that, I had been getting in so much trouble, so I was, like, in a sense, like, living up to those stereotypes, you know. So I guess that was just, like, I want to say, like, my changing point, you know. Like, I was like, well, I'm about to be in this class, you know, with a whole bunch of folks from the outside, and I can't be acting the way I be acting in here, you know. So I was like, I got to kind of change my mindset. But so I guess you could say I was walking on eggshells as well, but, I mean, as the course went on, you know, I kind of just started acting like Trey again, you know. It was just like, well, this is who I am, and see if they're going to accept it or not.
Good.
And so that's the kind of mindset I've developed. And when I got to the PSU class, the experience was so much different. You know, it was like Deb Arthur, you know what I mean? She's just an amazing person, you know, and she kind of gives you, like, this home, this acceptance, you know, like, feeling that's just, like, well, I don't care what anybody else thinks about me as long as I know I'm not doing anything wrong. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, absolutely.
So, just I guess with that being said, I never really had like a perception because I mean I feel like me as an individual, you know, you can't judge me, you know what I mean, based on my individuality. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the only part that you can judge me on. But I got two eyes, I got a mouth, I got a tongue. You know what I'm saying? I breathe just like you. So, I mean, that's how I kind of looked at it.
We drink the same coffee.
You know, and eat the same chips. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's how I kind of looked at it. It was just like, I'm going to take this a step at a time, you know, and just to notice that you guys are humans as well. It's just we're a little bit more unlucky and a little more deprived. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't have my own phone. But lucky enough, I'm here. I'm calling on the radio. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, but all that comes with doing good things within.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's introduce this piece then. Tell us a little bit about you know, your guys kind of, at least from your perspective, what were some of your thoughts going into putting this song together? Now, I pieced it together. All right, I took the audio that I got, and there's four different individuals that are on this track, and it's kind of like a mashup in a way. So go ahead and explain it a little bit from your perspective, Trey.
So I mean, just a shout out to Tavares, you know, and old girl that was doing the vocals and whatnot. Man, this is definitely a lightning experience, you know. My thoughts on this was, I really didn't want to get it wrong, you know, and I didn't want to hit certain points, and I didn't want to use profanity, and I didn't want to do a lot of things, but I was like, well, I just gotta be me, you know, and speak about world problems and problems that are affecting us now as a community and as a nation at that. So I really don't know if we labeled the song or not, you know what I'm saying? I just know that it was like, we're going to do this based on current problems and what we need to do and, you know what I mean, what's going on. Strange Fruit, you know, Billie Holiday, shout out. Tavares, you know, my mom, all them, they kind of inspired me to do this, you know.
Well, and I included War East piece at the tail end of it as well. So there's a little bit of a mixture there too. Yeah. So, well, let's go ahead and play that then, man.
Yeah, for real, man. I want to hear that thing.
All right, let's do it.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the roots. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees.
Yeah.
Big head on the beat.
Go.
Purchase your track now.
Respect. You don't understand it. People said they souls forget the propaganda. I take it day by day while they deliver cancer. How you gonna shoot someone that has their hands up? God, it gets me frustrated and I'm incarcerated trying to get rehabilitated. I'm looking at the world like, what can I do? Women being mistreated, misguided, inequality is not within our horizon. I'm becoming aware. Kids are getting shot in school, what if your child was there? My cousin got shot walking down the block right in front of his daughter, believe it or not. Check, we gotta keep the peace. Donald Trump today, but later who'll it be? Garrett Straight, I don't discriminate, I thought. But after Ferguson, I'll never trust a cop. Yeah, that's just how it's gonna be for now. Yeah. PSU, shout out. Deb. Yeah, shout out. I see you. Yeah. True G. I'm out here, man. Casting over with me, man. We out here. Check it. I'm proud of who I am, but they been killing my folks. So I write for the blacks that's been hanging from ropes. See, I reside in my mind, and I put them in quotes. Like, what would you do? If they
They promised 40 acres, but they made you the mule. Then they abolished slavery while they growing strange fruit. History repeats itself and we just stuck in the loop. 13th except for crime, that's the stuff that they do. He got a gun and a badge, hands up, don't move. But it's the demon in his head that's provoking him to shoot. When 23 and 2012 had me strapped with a tube, and oblivious to it all, had me acting like you. Now I'm incarcerated, he got my eyes open. And I'm moving through the haze, but I can't focus. And see, we black people, but we ain't voting. Preaching for a chain, folk, that shit's hopeless. And it's the women that we need, man, I see his motive. They pumping fear in Donald Trump, and it's the way we coping. And it's funny how we living in the free state, but the fight for their rights, man, that's every day. Yeah, we really out here, man. Fighting for women's rights, equality, you know what I'm saying? And everybody judging is based on our skin tone. But what they need to realize is that we all united, we equals. You know, at least in my eyes, it's funny how I see Donald Trump, and I know that he got a mom, and he didn't understand that I got one too.
Big head on the beat.
It's funny how I see you, but you can't see me. Check this out, man. The women is what's gonna keep us moving, because they giving birth to us, and that's 100. Keep it real. 100.
Black lives matter.
Pretty shorts, little itty bitty shorts on them pretty girls. And I ain't perfect, I got many flaws. I'm just searching for a wall where I could put a door. And I'm thinking I need a surgeon cause my heart is gone. Could never work an 8 to 4, but I ain't hating on making money to make a safer home. And Satan's on every dollar that we be chasing. We sell a soul, but that's not an equal replacement. For a piece of paper, you can meet your maker. That's not an equal equation. I ain't a mathematician, I'm just a mad magician. Working magic with this magic pen to clear up cloudy vision. From proud dad to proud parent to a crowded prison. From how sad to get suspended to a youth detention. Get your pensions from pulling pistols on these youth and futures. No restitution, no reprimands, and no justice either. The Constitution called word for legal prostitution. The Constitution called word for legal prostitution. Division.
So what do you think, Trey?
Hey, man, that was a dope mix. I don't know how you did that, man.
I had to add like this little scratch piece in there so I could transition from the one song to the other segment, but I think it came out pretty good.
Yeah.
I had some friends helping me out, giving me their feedback when I was at the office yesterday. What did you guys? You guys were talking about it when we were listening to it. Go on, Regina.
Actually, I was almost crying listening to those music, and meaning it resonates to me. And to us men that are listening to it, hearing you guys sing is to just to tell somebody out there that they can do whatever they want to do if they believe in themselves.
Right.
So I love the music. I love every bit of it. It just shows you are in for social change. Was nice. I love it. It was very nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you guys produce music and sell it out to the whole world.
We're gonna start focusing in on that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, we've got some really talented people. it strikes me how music is so much more powerful when there's a message. You know, you can feel when somebody really believes in the words they're saying versus just saying words.
Yes.
You know, the message was conveyed, definitely. I don't think you even need to speak the language to get a general idea of what you guys were saying. So right. that was really cool.
Go ahead, Trey.
Well, I mean, I think doing the song, you know, it was kind of like a last minute thing with me and Tavares. You know, it was like our last little hour, and I was like, man, we really gotta lay this down, you know. And I already had my verse put down, and he was like, man, I don't know what we need to talk about. And I was just like, man, we just need to be straightforward and hit the punch. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to hear no, you know, I mean, no metaphors, nothing like that, you know, besides the strange fruit, you know, and Billie Holiday and whatnot, you know what I mean? I feel like she had to get some type of shout out, you know what I'm saying, some type of acknowledgement. But I was like, we just got to, all gas, no brakes, we got to let them know what it is, you know. And because at the end of the day, they're not playing with us, so why should we play with them? You know, and that's how I was kind of going about it. Was just like, we got to put them on the front lines, you know what I mean, put them on their toes and let them know what it is. This is real life, you know. So it's, you know what I mean, y'all shooting, we shooting back, you know what I'm saying, just with words, you know what I mean, but y'all using real bullets, you know what I'm saying, and rubber bullets and stuff. So that's how I was thinking about it.
Well, and that was, and the intro, you know, the vocals in the intro was one of the students from PSU, Rachel. And I think she kind of surprised everybody. She was kind of a little bit soft-spoken, you know, kind of, you know, listening, paying attention. She would give her input during class, you know, here and there. She would have something really good to say. And then all of a sudden she bursts out with that. You know, tell us about that a little bit, Trey.
All right, yeah. So we was at the radio journalism class, I want to say like 3 weeks ago, and we was just up in there, you know, like trying to get everything together and what she really wanted to do and like to a type of beat. And we was like, man, just go a cappella, you know. And she was like, I'm not going to sing right now. And she was like real shy, you know. And, you know, me being pretty boy and all, and light skin, I'm playing.
He's got some influence.
No, I'm playing. But no, you know, we kind of just talked her up and was like, look, we really need you to do this, you know, like it's a bigger cause, you know, and like we really just sat her down and talked to her. And I mean, she was coherent. She was like, well, whatever. And she started singing, you know what I mean? The first two takes was all right. She wasn't really feeling them, but I thought they was perfect. We still there?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, man, it was kind of, the first two takes was cool, you know, and I thought they was perfect, but she didn't think they were, like, that good. So it was like, well, do it again, you know, and she was shy. She didn't want people in the other room to hear her, you know, but I was like, man, you got a voice that need to be heard, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to do this, you know, and so she got up on there and sung her heart out, man. It was like, well, this don't even deserve a beat. They really needed her, hear her for her, you know, like, hear her, you know what I mean, her vocals. Like, this is her, live and direct, no effects, no nothing. That was really her, and I was just real proud of her, you know. So, I mean, shout out, man, for real. She doing her thing.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm really glad you guys convinced her to do that, because that was a really cool audio segment.
Yeah, it was cool. Well, and Dimitri did that beat too. That initial beat. Yeah, the second one was a sample, but the first, the main beat that ran through, you know, your verse and his verse, was that was him, man. He's got some talent. So yeah, you guys sounded great. That's the first time I've heard you spit, Trey. I know you've kind of fooled around and like hinted that you were gonna do it in class a few times, but that's the first time I actually got to hear you do something. So that was pretty cool.
Well, I mean, it took a lot of guts, you know, because I really don't do this a lot.
It came out great, man. I'm glad that you guys were able to put that together. I think it meant a lot, and I think it added a lot to our program.
Yes.
So. Yeah, thanks for calling in, by the way. We really appreciate having you here on air with us.
Yeah, most definitely. Trey, we're gonna have to wrap things up at this point, but I'm so glad that you were able to call in and contribute and give your perspective there from the inside, man. It means so much, and you always got something good to say anyways, man. So thanks for being with us.
No doubt, man. It's Inside Out class, man. I'm happy you allowed me to get up on the air with y'all, man.
Of course.
And I want to give a shout out to my moms and stuff, man, and my family, man. I love y'all.
Right, and a shout out to the rest of the class too, man. So
yeah, straight up. Yeah. Guaranteed. Hey, thank you, Carlos, for real.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yeah, likewise. You're welcome. All right.
We'll see you next week.
Bye. All right, bye.
Goodbye. Regina, you're doing the outro.
Yeah, we're going to go into the outro right now. We're going to fade a little bit of music in, and you know, we're going to kind of wrap this show up. You've been listening to KBOO Portland, and Regina, go ahead, take it from here.
You've been listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. I am your host Regina, and my co-host this morning Carlos and Megan. Today we shared experiences on our recent college team with Portland State University Metamorphosis Capstone class. This is a certified Inside Out Prison Exchange class taught by Deborah Otto, where PSU students from the Portland metro area share a class with PSU students that are currently serving terms at McLean Youth Correction. I want to thank our engineer, Tammy, Carlos, and Megan and the rest of you for listening this morning. Thank you so much. But before we finally end this segment, I want to say you are somebody, all the inside students, you're wonderful. We miss you. We will see you next week. You are talented. You are unique. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Amen to that.
Right on.
Give to KBOO today during our end-of-year match. Wrapping up December 31st, donations from all new and increasing members will be matched one-to-one up to $15,000 from the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. Give an extra gift today or become a new member and your membership will be doubled to support independent community media and citizen journalism at KBOO. Thank you.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, where it's 10 o'clock on the nose. Coming right up, it's Air Cascadia with Chris Andre hosting. Headlines, interviews, and commentary at 10:15. We got flashpoints and a look at the future of public school education under a Trump presidency. And also, what kind of attorney general will a white supremacist like Jefferson Sessions make? Ebbly. At 11 o'clock on the Recovery Zone, author Susan Engel discusses her recent book, The End of the Rainbow, How Educating for Happiness, Not Money, would transform our schools. And we thank you, KBOO members, for your generous, generous support. And we hope more is coming. We hope that more people, more listeners will become members of KBOO. You can do that by going to kboo.fm and clicking where it says donate. We so appreciate that. And now we're going to go right to Air Cascadia. Please stay tuned.